Take your Bibles, if you would, today and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 40. I want to share with you today, I hope, what will be an encouraging message. Sometimes we preach encouraging messages, and sometimes we preach convicting messages. And, of course, we ought to be convicted even by being encouraged this morning. But we find Isaiah talking about God and the awesomeness of God. We sing a song sometime around here called Our God is an Awesome God. So thought that'd be a good title for a sermon. And looking at chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah, that's what we're going to be looking today. We're going to be talking about Our God is an Awesome God. I'm grateful today for the privilege and the opportunity I have to serve Him. I'm grateful now for many years that I've been able to preach and share the Word of God. And I pray today that God would bless as I stand here and bring the message before you today. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I want to ask you a very important question this morning. Do you have a burning desire to know God in a greater way? It ought to be the desire of every one of us today is to know God in a greater way. Anything I preach, anything I tell you that the Bible says we need to do, we can do nothing apart from Christ, and we can do nothing apart from knowing Christ in a deeper and understanding way. Now, I'm not one of these that said, well, you've got to have all this deep theology. I believe the gospel is very simple. I believe the Word of God is very plain. It's how to be saved, and it's very easy for a person to be saved. But I'm talking about knowing God in a real personal way, spending time with Him. I think today of how much time we spend in everything else today, whether it be television, video games, or computers, or whatever. And I thought just how spiritual the church would be today if all of God's people had a desire to know God in a deeper way. And so I believe this is what Isaiah is saying to the children of Israel as they're about to be released from bondage. But before I do that, let me remind you what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. The Apostle Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Now, you might want to go back and read that again when you get home, but the Apostle Paul, he knew who God was. We know that he had a great experience on the road to Damascus. He got saved and born again. However, I believe many people today can be saved and born again and know God in a personal way, but they really don't know God in a deep and understanding way because they've not spent time in the Word of God. I believe true knowledge of God's Word changes and alters men's lives. I believe it changes their judgments, their manners. It makes them again anew. The Bible said we become new creatures in Christ, we get saved. But I believe we become even greater as we begin to learn and study the Word of God. The believer prefers to know Christ. It's better for us. Knowing Christ is better for us than having all the worldly riches in the world. I tell you today, to have everything there is in the world is nothing compared to have Christ in your heart and in your life and know that He is there for you and will meet your need. Knowing God in a greater way must have been what Isaiah had in mind, because we come to the Scripture today, and I'm going to read verse 9 today as my text. We'll be reading the other verses as we go. But listen to what Isaiah said in verse number 9 of chapter 40. He said, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. You know, basically, he may not have been using, maybe that's a new term, awesome, for us in the day we live. But I believe in the day they live, when they said, behold your God, that means stop, take a look, examine your own life, and know God in a real and personal way. Every Christian should want to know Him in that way. Our Father, Lord, as we come this morning, we do pray for Your power. We pray for Your strength. We pray for Your guidance and direction. And Lord, we pray that Your will be done here for this message today. Lord, may we walk out of here today having a greater desire than we had when we came to know God in a more personal and real way. Father, I pray now that You would guide and direct in everything that's said and done. May it bring honor and glory to Thee. We'll be sure to give You the praise, the honor, and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I believe the more you know about God, the more you'll love God. I believe the more you know about God, the more you'll serve God. That's why I believe it's important to preach this message this morning, because I believe when we really grasp a hold of who God is, what He means in our life, and the difference He can make in our life, it'll make us love Him more, it'll make us serve Him more, and that's exactly what He's called us to do. I want you to look now with me. If you have your Bibles, we'll be looking at some verses in just a minute, but I want to share you some things that I hope will be a blessing to you. The first thing I obtain, I believe, from this passage of Scripture that we have today is that we have a caring God. I believe God is caring. I want you to know today He cares about you and He cares about me. Go with me to verse number 11. We'll be skipping around a little bit, but if you would, just follow along with me. He said, "He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm. He shall carry them in His bosom. He shall gently lead those that are young." He cares because of His comprehension. Do you know today that God comprehends who we are? He knows everything there is to know about us. He knows our thoughts and knows our deeds. He knows what we're thinking even at this moment. And I want you to know He sees us for who we are. He knows our sorrows. There's nothing that He does not know today. I tell you today, a lot of people think they can sin and get by with it. But friend, I remind you, you may sin, but you might get by with it by your friend, your neighbor, your husband, your wife, or your children. But you can't get by with God because He sees and knows everything. But understand today, He don't do it in a hateful way of trying to make you look bad. He does it in a caring way because literally He cares about you. He knows our sorrows. He knows when we're acquainted with grief. In this life, there's grief on every hand. We've had people on the prayer list we just mentioned this morning that has great needs in their life. But I'm glad to know today that God already knew about it before we did. He knew exactly what was going to take place and what was going to happen. And today, God, He cares. The reason He cares is because of His comprehension. There's nothing He don't comprehend, by the way. He knows everything there is in this world. He knows when we hurt, and He knows why we hurt. He knows what causes that hurt in our life. He knows the trouble we face. The psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." I'm glad today, in my time of trouble, the Lord's ear is open. His ear can hear and understand when we cry out to God and pray and seek His face. I think about 1 Peter 5, 7. The Bible says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Can I remind you today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can trust Him with your life. He's going to take care of you. He loved you enough to die for you. Believe me, He loves you enough to keep you and to care for you all through your life, no matter what comes your way. He not only cares because of His comprehension, but He cares because of His compassion. Many seem to think today that no one cares. I don't know how many times that I've visited with people, and especially sometimes maybe as older people get older, times begin to change, and our friends, most of our friends, are beginning to die off, and many of them have already died off. And if we're not careful, we can get to that place in our life to where we said, "Nobody cares about me." I want to say today, it may be true that sometimes it may be that your friends don't care. It may be that your family don't care. But let me tell you this morning, Jesus cares. He knows exactly what you're going through. And there's no greater friend. The Bible says He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He cares about you. And that's great news for all of us. Now, Isaiah, and through God, wanted Israel to know that He cared about them. I believe that's why this chapter was given to us today, in order that we might understand it. But that's why God's prophet said in the text that we just read, He said, "Behold, your God." Now, for years, Israel had felt as if God had forsaken them. Now, why would you think that? There was times probably when God seemed not to answer the prayers as they prayed them. God did not seem to do the things that they wanted Him to do. And so they thought that He had forsaken them. But friend, He had not forsaken them. They had forsaken him because of their disobedience. And I want you to know today, God does care about us, and God does want to help us, and God does want to guide and direct us in our life. But today, we must understand that we have an obligation. If he cares about us, we ought to care enough about him to do what he says do and serve him in a way that would be pleasing to him. I want you to go back with me in verse number 11 that we read just a while ago, and I want to show you just how God cares about us. I want you to look at that first phrase. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Now, Christ is the good shepherd. And truly, there's no greater example in the Word of God than the sheep and the shepherd. We're the sheep of his pasture, if you will. He is the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And he's the shepherd that's over all shepherds. But the shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep. And so what does he do? He relates himself to being that shepherd. He relates to us as being his sheep. And he tells us here, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. I'm grateful today that God meets every need that we have. You know, the words require no more service by his providence. It does not inflict more trouble. The shepherd cares about us in our time of need. And he helps us when we need him. And most of all, understand, he feeds us. Now, when we think about feeding, I know we think about feeding is what we're going to have for dinner today. And that's a good thing. I'm not opposed to it. I'm looking forward to it myself. But I'm not going to dwell on it too much right now, because I'm interested more about what God's going to feed you today from the Word of God. I believe spiritual food is even greater importance than physical food. You said you can't live without physical food. You can't live without spiritual food if you're a child of God, the way you ought to live and the way you ought to live. Not only does he present himself as the shepherd over the flock, but notice what is the next phrase said in verse 11. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. In other words, he snatches them from danger. I remember the 99, if you remember, that's given in the Word of God, there's one went missing. It might have been easy just to say, oh, well, I'm not wasting my time going after him. But what did he do? He went after him. He went after the one when the 99 was still there, but he went after the one and would bring him back. I've often used the illustration, sometime when he would find a lamb that had wandered away from the fold, he might take him, the shepherd would take him and maybe break his leg. I know that sounds awful and terrible, but he would place him on his shoulders and he would carry him back to the group. He would nurse him back to health. He'd splint his leg and do everything he could to take that lamb and make him what he needed to be again. But you know why he did that? It's to teach him where he wouldn't wander off anymore or get himself in a place of danger. Sometimes God has to, he goes after us, he picks us up, but every now and then he'll break our leg to get our attention, to help us understand today that God is God. God is a mighty God. God is an awesome God. And God today is the God of this universe, and he knows every need that we have in our life. Thirdly, notice the next phrase. This just preaches itself, really, this verse. He shall gather lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. He holds them dear to his heart. I want you to know today that I believe, if you're here this morning, I believe you're near to the heart of God. You know, we sing a song called that, Near to the Heart of God. I believe today, if you're here, you said, well, you're talking about saved people being near to the heart of God. I'm going to tell you something. Saved people are near to the heart of God because he does love you in what you do. But friend, even lost people are near to his heart, because he said he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I talked with a lady this past Monday, and we've been praying for her dad to get saved, and she said he's no closer than he is or in the past, but she said, we're still praying. And then she quoted that verse. She said, you know, the Bible said that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I said, that's a wonderful thought. But I want you to understand, when it seems as no one cares, when it seems as if the world's falling apart, when it seems as if you don't know which way to go or what to say or what to do, just remember that we're sheltered in the arms of God. And I'm grateful today. He tells us that he feeds us, he gathers us, he carries us. And then that last phrase we read in verse 11, and shall gently lead those that are young. You see, the young, I believe, refers here to the new converts, I would say, people that first get saved. You know, a person don't get saved and overnight know everything they're supposed to do. They don't get saved and overnight know all the Word of God. In fact, I've been preaching now for a long time, and I must admit to you today, I don't know all the Word of God. I still find treasures in the pages of the book that maybe I've never seen before that encourage my heart. But God gently leads us in the paths of righteousness, He said, for His name's sake. And I'm grateful today that He does that. In John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." I tell you today, that's enough for me to know that when God saved me, He's going to keep me, and there's no way that I'm going to be lost again, because He said, "I know them, they follow Me, I give them eternal life, eternal life forever, and they shall never perish, and nothing can get us out of His hand." I'm so happy this morning that I'm in the hand of God. In fact, we're going to look at some more of that in just a minute, but I'm glad to know today that I'm in the hand of God, and there's nothing can separate me from the love of Christ as a child of God, the shepherd. I'm the sheep. But again, I want you to understand, there is a relationship with the shepherd and the sheep, but the sheep has a responsibility to the shepherd as much as the shepherd has a responsibility to the sheep. He leads us in that way. I can't pass this without mentioning, but I've been amazed when I've studied the cultures of Israel and the Holy Land. They said the shepherds would take their sheep and go out into the wherever they was to the pastures to feed. And they'd come together sometimes. They would meet up together, and all of their sheep would mingle together. The shepherds would mingle together and have time, I guess, of fellowship and just having some time with others out there, because that was a lonely job. Wouldn't you imagine being a shepherd? And yet they'd have that time. But the thing is, when they got ready to go, they began to call the names of their sheep, and their sheep began to separate from that big pack of sheep, several groups, and they would follow their shepherd, because they knew the shepherd in a deep and personal way. Friend, when God speaks to you, do you know Him well enough that you'll recognize His voice? Do you know Him well enough to know that He will lead you in His paths of righteousness for all names' sake? Not only is God caring, and I've already mentioned this a little bit about God comprehends us, but what about us comprehending Him? God is beyond comprehension. I cannot for the life of me. I've been preaching all these years, and I still cannot comprehend everything that I read in this book about God. And furthermore, I don't believe I'll ever be able to comprehend it, because I believe He's uncomprehendable, because He's so great and so awesome in all that He does. Look at verse 13 and 14 of our chapter. He said, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him?" That's kind of funny if you think about it. "With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the ways of understanding?" First of all, His wisdom is past finding out. What He's saying is, who directed the Spirit of the Lord? Nobody. He's always been, always has been. Who taught God the things that He's learned? He didn't learn. He knew them from the beginning. You said, how can that be? I don't know. I can't comprehend it. But I can tell you what, He did it, and He said He did it according to the Word of God. The Bible said in Isaiah 55, verse 8, the first part of it, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him, with whom He took counsel. He instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, taught Him knowledge, and showed Him to Him the way of understanding. God said of Himself, for My thoughts are not your thoughts." I promise you, anything that's ever happened, God thought of it long before you thought of it, or before I thought of it, because our thoughts are not His thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. Romans 11, verse 33 and 34, He said, "O depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor?" Again, He refers to that, and He asks the question, because we live in a day, I believe, understanding His wisdom is infinite. Our wisdom is finite. He can see the end from the beginning. We only have what we can see now. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow and this week. God knows what's going to happen in the days to come. And we must understand today that we don't know when the next thing will happen or what will happen, but God does. If you and I cannot comprehend each other, how in the world do you think we can comprehend God? We're not able to tell Him anything. There's a lot of people may try to tell Him something. There's a lot of people that want to tell Him something. There's people that like to interpret the Bible to fit their schedule so they can live the way they want to live. It just don't work that way because God is the God of all wisdom. He's incomprehensible, and only He knows what He would do from day to day. He's an awesome God. Has the thought ever occurred to you that the answer to every mathematical, scientific, and theological question has been stumped by the wisest of men? But do you know that God knows the answer? He knows the answer of every one of them because we find here that His wisdom is past finding out. He's way beyond us. I tell you, we've come a long way. We've got computers now that can do things that can only be done in just minutes that used to take forever. But listen, don't erase God from that because God's allowed men to invent things to help us along the way and encourage us. And then here's something else awesome about God in verse number 12. Consider His hands. Look at verse 12. Go back with me. Who has, now this is, let it sink in as I read it, because this is really hard to understand. Talking about God, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed in the mountains in the scales, and the hills in the balance. God held all the oceans, rivers, ponds, lakes, and creeks at one time in His hand. You said, preacher, do you believe that? I believe every bit of it. I believe it. You said, why do you believe it? Because the Bible said all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And if the Bible says it, I believe it. And I know that's exactly what He said. He said He held all the waters in the hollow of His hand. And the Bible says, the Word of God says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. Now, the God that the Bible speaks of is an awesome God. He knows exactly how many ounces. Sometimes, I've been out of school a long time, I have to say, now, how many pints make up a quart? And you know, get all that stuff, because I hadn't used any of that in a long time. But I'm going to tell you, He knows every ounce, every pint, every quart, every gallon of water in creation. And He held them in the hollow of His hand. But notice what He said. He didn't say in the hollow of His hands. He said in the hollow of His hand. I tell you, He'd be awesome even if He used both hands. But according to the Word of God, He didn't use both hands. He just used one hand. For the air, He said He did it basically in a span. I looked it up, and a span is usually referred to from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your finger. That's a span, and they say it's usually with maybe a man's hand would be roughly around 9 inches. So basically, when we read this and understand, God is so awesome that He meted out the heavens with a span. That much. I don't know how to describe it, but a span about that long is what He's able to do it. The people who had been in bondage, now these people had been in bondage for 70 years. They were just about to get some freedom and release. And here comes Isaiah saying, behold your God. You know what he was trying to do? To motivate them to love God. To motivate them to serve God. To motivate them to be faithful to God and understand that He is of most importance in our life if we're a child of God. And so today I say to you, behold our God because of what He did. Then look, if you would, the latter part of verse number 12. He said He meted out the heavens with a span. He comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and He weighed the mountains in the scales and in the balance. Historian named Jerome believes that Isaiah's time was one way the store owners used to measure by taking their three largest fingers, and they would use that in order that they might dip out whatever you were buying, dipping out the stuff with three fingers. That was called a measure. So basically, God took, if that's the case, God took those three fingers, the three largest fingers, and He picked up all the dust of the earth, everything there was, and notice what it said. He said He comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and He weighed it in the mountains and the scales and the hills and the balance. That's what He made the world. So stop and think about it. In a span, He held the waters, or created the waters. Then we find in a measure, he scooped out all the dust of the earth and made this great land in which we live. And to these people, he was telling them, literally, that they were to behold their God. To people who have been in bondage for 70 years, Isaiah again said, behold your God. Then he said he weighed the mountains and the scales and the hills and the balance. Everybody likes to go to the mountains. They're beautiful. But can anybody tell me what any mountain weighs? I'll take any. Doesn't matter. You can name them anywhere you want. But I just like to know. Does anybody know how much one weighs? You don't, and I don't, but God does. I tell you, he put them in the balance, the scales, and they're in the balance, and he's the one that created all of the universe and gave it to us. If you haven't asked me how much, I can't tell you, but God knows precisely how much they weigh. God knows exactly how much water is upon the earth. The whole universe is beyond our comprehension because God, who created it, is beyond our comprehension. We cannot comprehend it, but we must, by faith, believe what the Word of God says. And Isaiah cried out, behold thy God. Then consider his greatness. All the great nations of the world are nothing compared to the greatness of God. Isaiah 40, look at verse 15. He said, behold, this sounds like South Georgia talk, don't it, in verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. We use that term a lot, don't we? Like a drop in a bucket. But he said, all the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as the very thing. In Isaiah 40, verse 16, well, in Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for burnt offerings. Our day we see that he is, all the other nations compare not at all to him. They're just like a drop in the bucket. Babylon was the greatest nation on the earth. And I believe today America is the most powerful nation that's ever existed. But America was great. You know why? Because God made it great. And I tell you today, I'm grateful today to be an American. I'm grateful today God chose and allowed me to be born here and to live here, have the freedoms I enjoyed. But I tell you today, even America is sometimes forgetting about God, forgetting about his power and all that he's done and all that he will do for us. Second of all, consider his worthiness. And I went ahead and read verse 16. Read it again. But God's worth is beyond compare. I tell you today, he's worth more than any and everything we could possibly imagine or think of. And Lebanon is not sufficient, verse 16, to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. The trees of Lebanon were of a beautiful cedar tree that grew in that area. Wood from those trees were considered to be the finest wood you could get. But Isaiah is saying of the trees of Lebanon, they're not worthy enough. They're not even worthy enough to offer sacrifices, burnt offerings. They're not sufficient. And to the people of God that had been in bondage for 70 years, what did he say? Behold your God. You see where I'm going with this morning? If we're going to have a great year in 2023, we better stop and behold our God. We better understand that we have an awesome God. That our God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we could ask or think. And no matter how beautiful something might be, the cedars of Lebanon are not sufficient to burn, the beasts thereof not sufficient even to offer for a burnt offering. And then consider his value. In verse 17, he tells us his value. He said, all nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. Boy, that'll make you stop and think, won't it? Boy, sometimes we get to thinking we're wonderful and we're great, but he said, all nations before him are nothing. In other words, we don't compare to him. No matter how much power, no matter how much smartness, no matter what we have, we do not compare to him. And then he goes on to say, we're not only nothing, but we're less than nothing. And I believe today that shows us how much he cares about us. All created beings shrink to nothing in comparison to the Creator. When the Lord by his Spirit made the world, none directed his spirit. None gave him advice what to do and how to do it. The nations in comparison are just a drop that remains in the bucket compared to the vast ocean and the small dust in the balance which does not turn. compared to all the earth. This magnifies God's love in the world. Though it is such a small account of value with Him, it reminds me of what He did for us. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, I'm convinced today that most people, we know God. We know God is our Savior. I hope you do. We know God is our Savior, but we really don't understand just how great God is. I've heard people say, God's not going to answer my prayer. He may not, because He said if we regard iniquity in our heart, He wouldn't hear us. And it may not be His will to answer our prayer. But I can tell you what, most of the time when we pray, if He don't answer our prayer, it may be us instead of Him. Because maybe we don't have faith enough to believe how awesome He is. Understanding today, if you go back home today and read Isaiah 40, maybe you can comprehend it a little bit better. But Isaiah was saying, we serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God. Our God is able to do more than we could ever think. And I want to close out with just reading the remainder of the text that we had, verse 21 through 26. Just listen as I read. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Obviously, they were having trouble understanding and believing too, and Isaiah was trying to get their attention. Verse 22, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof that are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out of the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out in a tent to dwell in, that bringeth their princes to nothing. He maketh the judgments of the earth as vanity. Verse 24, yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom, then, will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? And then verse 26, He said, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them by all name, calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for He is strong in power, and not one faileth Him. Let me ask you a question today. Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know today, if you was to die, where you would spend eternity? I'm grateful to know today, if I died, I believe what the Bible said nothing can separate me from the love of God. And I know I got saved. And He said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. And I know that I'd go there. And that's wonderful. If you're here today and you don't know that, you can know it. Because just as simply as He made the earth, He made salvation. It wasn't quite as simple because it cost Him a great price. He had to lay down His life. And again, that's the part that I probably have the hardest trying to comprehend. How that the Son of God could literally die on an old rugged cross for an old sinner like me. But He did. But then the second question is, do you know Him today as an awesome God that's able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think? I believe today that there's never a prayer that we pray as a child of God, if we know that our hearts are right, that God does not hear our prayer. There's no doubt in my mind that God always does what's best for us in our life, and we must accept it. But the only way we can accept it is to really know how great and wonderful God is. I didn't know it was planned that way today. I picked up the bulletin today, and I saw two little feet. That's one of the greatest miracles of life right there. It's how God can create inside of a woman's womb a little bitty baby, and it come out and grow to be an adult. That's one of the miracles among miracles that God has for our life. But do you this morning know Him in such a way? You said, well, preacher, I don't guess I do. How do I know Him that well? Spend time in this book. Spend time in prayer. And you'll get to know Him. And He'll get to know you even better, even though He knows you and everything about you. And I pray today that we would behold your God.